This is AFCast, the video game podcast. And here's your host, Malcolm Shever.
The first The Last of Us left us wondering, what's next? We traveled across the country just to be betrayed and left without purpose. Today on AFCast, we find a new purpose in The Last of Us Part 2. We start off in a town called Jackson. It is another, I'm pretty sure it's a new town, but it's also led by Tommy and Maria. So I want to say that it's the town that we discovered in the first Last of Us that was led by those two, but I think it's a new establishment. And it has a lot more people as well. Like this is almost reaching like a city type thing. Except for it seems like it's all built by hand, maybe used like some old house materials and stuff like that, though, throughout it. But anyway, you're living comfortably as Ellie and Joel. And actually, throughout the story, you are playing as Ellie throughout. And I'm not going to tell you what the reason is, but the main story is set up so that way you are basically hunting this group called the WLF as revenge. And you are playing as, like I said, you're playing as Ellie throughout the game. And you're actually joined by multiple different companions throughout the game. And this even includes like flashbacks and stuff like that, because you do have some of those, because this actually takes place 4 years later than the first Last of Us. So Ellie is now 18 instead of just 14. Which is pretty crazy to think about. And yeah, so she also has a relationship with Dina now, or at least she gets into a relationship with Dina, who is just this, basically just this random girl that is new to The Last of Us 2. And there's a complicated relation with another person, named Jesse, where he was dating Dina beforehand, and then that causes some drama. Not to mention that Tommy actually goes out to fight the WLF before you do, as revenge for him, for himself. And that might have given away what the anger is towards, but who knows? You might still have to figure it out yourself, but then Tommy, basically we have to go, Maria wants us to go after Tommy. So she lets us, instead of trying to keep us in like she was before, she lets us go after Tommy. And I do want to actually follow up on the companion system, because there is actually a specific system. Cause I realize that some people are probably like, ugh, when they heard me say that you're with companions most of the time. But they're actually fairly helpful this game. They'll actually spot people for you. They'll also shoot at them for you. They'll even do takedowns with you. So if you're trying to do it stealth, they'll do it stealth with you. Though most of the time, when it's up to stealth, it's mostly up to you. But sometimes they will take out people here and there if they're in the clear. They can actually be spotted themselves, but for the most part, they stick next to you. And I'm pretty sure that they have a much lower possibility of actually getting spotted. I think the only times I've ever seen a companion get spotted is if they're basically like the enemy is basically standing right on top of them, and so that's it's you really don't have to worry about your companion being spotted most of the time, especially since it doesn't get you spotted. It's just your companion, and your companion, I don't want to say can't really die, because there are times where something will grapple them and you'll have to break the grapple off of them. And I'm pretty sure that the companion might be able to die. I don't know. I haven't tested that. But that is a possibility. But yeah, companions will also shoot if you're doing more of an aggressive approach. And they can actually kill enemies. Or just make them, what's the word, stagger. Like they can have them stagger as well. And even draw attention from you to them as well. Which is really nice. So they're really helpful for stealth and aggression. And so they're not like most companions where they're just kind of annoying in the way, takes your cover, that type of thing. Though every once in a while, if you're like trying to go against shelves and stuff like that to find items throughout the world, sometimes they can get in a way, like get in the way if they get stuck in a corner. For the most part, the AI tries to move out of your way and stay out of your way. But if you're constantly moving around trying to loot whatever room you're in, there is a possibility that you will get stuck on them. But it doesn't happen to me too often. And I'm sure that since most people don't have a collector's mindset like I do, like I am always trying to find collectibles and stuff in the game, then you will not run into them nearly as much as I was, because I was brushing up against every wall trying to find all sorts of hidden secrets. Which I will actually say that exploration is a very important thing for you to do, and I'd really recommend that you do it. Maybe not brush up against every wall, but definitely try to go into locations that aren't necessarily part of the story. Especially when you go into downtown Seattle, you will have all of these locations that you can discover. And there's some places that it builds personality. There's some places where you can find new weapons. Like I found a shotgun. I also found new equipment. I found like a trap mine and two gun holsters. That way I was able to hold more guns at a time instead of having to swap them out of my backpack. And I'll explain the weapon wheel system here in a second. But obviously you can also find collectibles. And then you can also find these things called training manuals. You do have a branch. You kind of have a branch system. It's not entirely branch, it's more like categories. So essentially, like, the first three that I got was you have the base one, you have the base branch that you have when you first start off the game. Then I found a crafting manual, then I found a stealth manual, then after that I think it was like some kind of survival manual, I think is what it was called. I don't know, something like that. There's several out in the world, and you obviously have to progress through the story and actually go through areas in order to find them, because you can completely pass up these things, which kind of sucks. And it works the same way as it did in the first Last of Us, where you need to find supplements in order to actually upgrade yourself down whatever branch that you decide to go down. You do have to go in order, so you don't actually get to choose what part of that branch you want to buy. You actually have to go in order. Each branch has five things, I think is what it is. It's either five or six, something like that. And they do various things. It's nothing too specific. Though I will say that stealth, it is kind of a little bit more specific, like, and crafting, obviously, because crafting, you can craft new things, or you can craft faster, that type of thing. And, like, for stealth, you can actually get a silencer for your pistol in order to help you out with stealth, which is really nice. And I'm not going to tell you the location of all these, because, one, it would be super complicated to actually tell you where it is. And also, just, it's better if you explore for yourself. I think it's really fun to explore a world, and it's important because you get to actually learn more about the game than you would just playing through the story. So I would really recommend that. And obviously another thing that you would find is lore. Like, I basically uncovered the entire history of a civil war in downtown Seattle, just finding different collectibles and stuff like that. It was actually fairly interesting to read through it. I know that some people will find collectibles but not actually read them. I'm the person who reads them. Call me a nerd, if you will. But once again, you do have the same enemies in the game. You have the humans, obviously. You do have dogs when you get later on into the game, and then you also get runners and clickers, and then there's actually a new zombie type, which is the shambler. So for people who haven't played the first Last of Us, runners are just the stereotypical zombie where they will just run after you and try to hit you and bite you and stuff like that. And then you have clickers. Clickers are completely blind, but they do use echolocation in order to find you, and so if you move too fast, they'll be able to hear you really easily. Or if you are standing away from cover, like if you're just standing in the middle of a room, they can use echolocation to spot you in the middle of the room. So if you see them stop to start clicking and basically screaming, then you need to be next to cover, otherwise they will know your position, which is kind of scary, actually. But Yeah, and they're also very strong. They basically have this, like, natural shell that you have to deal more damage to. So even a headshot won't be an instant headshot. So you have to be careful with them, especially since you can only stealth kill them. You can't grapple them, because, like, with human enemies or runners, you can actually hold them and use them as a human or zombie shield, essentially, and use your weapon, which is pretty cool. And then you also have the Shambler, which is kind of like the new bloater. Actually, in one of the scenes where you go back, like one of the flashbacks, you actually do fight a bloater. But this is essentially the new bloater. It's called the Shambler, and it will basically, if you think of the Flood, you had the, I can't remember exactly what they're called, but it looked like giant bubbles that would essentially walk towards you, lay on the ground, and explode. That's basically what those things are. So instead of throwing like spores at you, instead, if you shoot different parts of it, it'll actually explode into acid spores, and it can even basically disperse them themselves. Like, they can lay down and explode, and they can do it multiple times. So as you're shooting it, you'll actually see it explode multiple times, and you have to be careful when you're doing this near your companion as well. I can't actually remember the reason. I had a reason for it, but I can't remember it now. But definitely be careful doing it next to yourself, because it does hurt quite a bit. But they're much easier to take down than bloaters are, so I'm glad on that front. Like, they only take a couple rifle shots. They, for some reason, shotguns don't do much against them. But even pistols are pretty effective. I mean, they get taken down pretty quickly. So that's pretty nice. So one thing with doing combat, I've already mentioned the companions. I've already mentioned a few of the weapons. I've mentioned the enemies that you go against. Now, you can choose to do either stealth, or you can be aggressive, or you can even just avoid altogether. A lot of fights you actually can avoid. It's a bit harder on the zombie front sometimes, because you'll have clickers who will hear you trying to escape an area. And then there's some areas where you can't avoid things altogether, like you have to kill everything in order to actually escape somewhere. And then there's even some scenes where it's like you are only avoiding them, and it's kind of a mix of aggression as well. And what I mean by that, it's one of those scenes where you're just running away from a horde of zombies, essentially. So it's just, there's a couple of those scenes here and there. But yeah, so stealth is actually a pretty viable option. And with dogs, it gets harder because they can smell your scent and you kind of have to distract them. But once you get the silencer, or even just upgrade your stealth stat quite a bit, like your stealth upgrades quite a bit, you can hide pretty well. And if you don't get the stealth upgrade, or the stealth training manual, so you're not able to get silencers, you will eventually get a bow, which is silent as well. So, yeah. And then you also have your flashlight. So the flashlight is actually helpful in this game. There are several games with flashlights that they're not actually helpful at all, which sucks. But this game, they are actually fairly helpful, but they can be dangerous as well. I'm pretty sure human enemies can spot flashlights, but the zombies or the infected, my mistake, the infected will actually not be able to spot it at all. They will not be able to spot your flashlight, so you're able to, and that's most of the time when you'll actually be using them, because usually you're fighting the infected in, like, dark areas with a bunch of spores, or, like, underground, that type of thing. And then if you're fighting them above ground, you don't even have to use your flashlight, so that doesn't even matter then. But yeah. And then one important thing as well about the world is that this is a semi-linear game. So a semi-linear game, at least that's what I call it. I don't know what it's actually called, or even if there is an actual name for it. But essentially, there is one specific path that you have to take, but during that path, you are able to explore large chunks of land. So like I said, there was the downtown Seattle area. that wasn't a huge area, and there was a specific location that you had to go to, but you were able to explore that area until you got to the next story location. So there's that. But things that you can find like ammo for your weapons. Sadly, you can't have much reserve ammo. So I would recommend, like for your pistol, if you want to be holding more ammo for your pistol, then get an extended mag. The extended mag, I feel for me, isn't necessarily so that way I can have more shots in one clip, but it's that way I can actually hold more ammo for my pistol. Because once it gets later into game, if you do stealth correctly, you actually start getting a crap ton of ammo to carry on you, which kind of sucks because then it feels like you're wasting any piece of ammo that you come across. But yeah, you're also able to get like pieces of ingredients. So you have like alcohol, you have bandages, you have bindings, you have blades, and then there's something else I'm missing. You can also get water and explosives as well. At least I think it's water. It's water or something else. I'm not entirely sure. It's some kind of solution, I think. But essentially, you can use these pieces of ingredients. And once you get enough pieces, it creates a whole ingredient. And you can only hold 3 at a time of each ingredient. But you're able to craft different things. So you're able to craft like these bombs that essentially will disorient people, so kind of like concussion bombs. And then you can also create like trap mines if you have found those. You can craft arrows once you get your bow. You can even do the thing that you could do in the first Last of Us, where you could upgrade your melee weapon to do more damage and be a one shot instead of a two shot. And then you can also create med kits for yourself. And then you could also create the silencer if you got the silencer, because the silencer only will actually get destroyed in once you use it a few times, which makes sense, but yeah. Then you can also find like bolts, essentially. Like the icon for it is screws, and essentially you can use these for, if you find workbenches, you're able to use these screws to actually upgrade your weapon. So you can upgrade stability, you can upgrade for the rifle, you can get a 6x scope on it. You could upgrade the magazine, whether that is quick reloads or more ammo, or you can even upgrade like recoil, that type of thing, even damage for some weapons, which is really nice. So it's helpful to get those screws so that you can upgrade your weapon, especially since if you're actually exploring, when you're exploring new locations, you can actually find workbenches. If you're just playing through the story, it can be much harder to get workbenches, and you can start gathering up a lot of stuff. So it's actually helpful to your actual gameplay and fighting to explore as well. Especially since, like I said, once again, I found a shotgun, and so far, I don't think I've found any other shotgun in the game. I wonder if you can get a shotgun off of the humans' bodies once you start killing them more-ish, because I kind of got that shotgun before I went into battle with them, so I wonder if there is other places that you can get a shotgun, but I found it pretty early on, so, yeah. But more things that you can find med kits instead of just having to craft them. You can also find some equipment for yourself. So that's just, like I said, like Molotovs, trip mines, even med kits, like I said. And then you can even find, like, basically, I don't really know how to explain it. I'm trying to think of the word, rations, essentially. And these rations that you can find, so like whether it's like, it could be like a nutrient bar, or it could just be like a bag of chips or something like that. That's usually what it looks like. And when you pick it up, it'll actually heal part of your health. So there's not usually a point to use a med kit unless you're actually in the middle of a battle, or if you're just extremely low in health and you want to get your health up higher, which completely makes sense in my mind. So the other things that it's kind of similar to the first Last of Us is, I mean, crafting, like the menu for crafting and stuff like that is completely the same. I mean, at least from what I remember, it's completely the same. Looting is the same. I mean, you even have the same ingredients for everything and the same icons. I'm actually really glad. I feel like games, when they come out with a sequel, really try to change how those UIs work, the user interfaces work. But this time, they just cleaned it up and actually made it better, in my opinion, by just kind of making it feel smoother. But they didn't actually change anything, so people are actually familiar with the system, which is really nice. And then there are actually a couple things that they changed with gameplay. Like, the world actually looks more natural now. I mean, one thing is that graphics are insanely good in this game. The world looks beautiful. One of the first shots that you get in the game, like, one of the first actual, like, moments that you can see a really big piece of landscape, it is just amazing, especially since it's spring when you see it. It's great. But essentially, what I mean by the world is more natural is that there's, like, small holes in the wall, and you can actually fit yourself into those small holes. You can find areas where you can actually prone under it, or you can just crouch under it. There's some areas where you kind of have to squeeze through. And this makes it a lot better than older games, including older version of The Last of Us, where there's just like obvious giant holes in the side of walls in order to make rotations and stuff like that. But now this isn't much different. Besides, there is some speed to it, like how fast you can get through those obstacles. But now it's actually kind of like, it just looks more natural, essentially. It doesn't look as clunky. So it doesn't really add anything but looks. But I think it's worth it. I think it is. It's really worth it. Another really cool thing is that you can actually break glass in this game. I mean, sure, other games you could break glass, but you couldn't actually do anything after you broke the glass. In this game, in order to solve some puzzles, you actually have to break glass and climb through the window that you broke the glass for. And sometimes it's just there as not really a puzzle, but just another obstacle that you have to go through. And you can either do that by hitting it with something, or you can like throw a brick through the window. And yes, there are throwables again, where you can have a brick or a glass bottle. Those are the only two throwables you can have once again in the second Last of Us, which is pretty cool. So let me just actually just describe the weapon wheel in general. You have your bigger primary weapons on the left side. It's the same as the first Last of Us. You have your sidearms on the right side, and then on the downside of the D-pad, you have kind of your throwables. So you have like Molotovs, or your just your throwables, like bricks, bottles, that type of thing. And then above, you have your med kits, and then also trap mines and explosives that you can have. So, and you can also quick craft off of that menu. And as well, you are able to actually swap something out of your backpack. So, like, if you didn't find the second holster for your sidearms, so you're only able to carry the pistol and the revolver, you might be carrying the pistol, but you might run out of ammo, so you want to switch to the revolver, and it takes more time because you actually have to pull it out of your backpack and then put it into your gun holster instead. So you basically have to switch out the weapons on your holster, which I think is really cool because that allows you to have a lot of different weapons, but without making it super unrealistic where you just have like an RPG, a bow and arrow, machine gun, rifle, pistols, like all of this stuff, kind of like GTA, where it's like, people have actually created visuals of a GTA person carrying all of these weapons on their back. Like, it's just insane. But this adds another level of realism to it. Obviously, once you get the bow and you have three, primary weapons, so you have the rifle, you have the shotgun, and you also have the bow, it becomes a little unrealistic because I don't really know how you'd fit the third one if you have both the primary holsters in your backpack. I don't really know how that works, so that's a little bit more unexplainable, but I still think it's cool that they added that because that adds another level of realism to it, even if it's not too realistic. But yeah. So overall, this game is just amazing. I mean, obviously you can tell I was talking pretty fast about it because I am really excited about this game, even after I played it. I haven't played it all the way through yet, so I'm not entirely sure if you how many training manuals there are, how many weapons you can get, but I'm hoping there's more, and I'm hoping you can just, I don't know. There's a lot of things that I'm still interested to find in the game, and I hope I didn't miss out on anything because of that. One thing that is cool as well, though, is that you can actually find little puzzles for safes. Like, you can find safes around the world, and you actually have to solve a little puzzle, whether that's just, like, finding a note or putting two notes together, essentially. That's oversimplifying it, but there are actually some pretty cool things where you do actually have to go some distance in order to find out how to open a safe. And it's all combination-based, so you don't have to worry about doing different things to get open the safe, just finding the combination. But yeah, so overall, the graphics of this game are amazing. The gameplay is, it feels almost exactly the same as the first Last of Us, just way smoother. And that makes me happy because, like I said before, games don't usually do that. Games usually try to change how their gameplay works because they think it's outdated. But in reality, keeping it similar is a very good thing to do. I mean, take Halo, for example. They kept switching how their control scheme worked for the game, and that was the most frustrating thing. So a lot of people liked it when Halo Master Chief Collection came out, so that way they can just set one thing of controls to a universal set in the game instead of having to keep switch between what game matched what controls. It was really frustrating. And I really hope that games take this into account in the future. I think there are some games where they might want to update it, but besides that, I mean, for the most part, I mean, this is great that they kept it the same because it felt like The Last of Us. Some other games, even though the story and the lore all match the world, actually playing the game doesn't feel like you're in that world, if that makes sense. So I'm really glad that they managed to keep that feel. The story is absolutely amazing. And I'm kind of mad at the people who gave it a bunch of... There's a lot of one-star reviews out for this game. And I'm not saying this for every person that gave it a one-star review. But, I mean, a lot of them were kind of homophobic because of the whole situation with Ellie and Dina. I think the story is, at the very least, it's exactly the same level that I would give the first Last of Us. Honestly, I give this game a 10 out of 10. I haven't run into many bugs at all. Then again, story games that usually have a lot of bugs. I also just don't have many issues with the game. I mean, like, clickers are a little bit OP, but that's what they were before, and that's how they're meant to be, so that just makes sense. So being annoyed by that is just being annoyed by something that was supposed to be implemented, so I'm not too frustrated at that, especially since I always play at harder difficulties than the normal difficulty, so it could just be some adjusting as well. But, I mean... Yeah, I love how much they included exploration into this game because there is so much that you can explore in this game. I mean, I don't think I'm even a third of the way through the story, but I've still found so much. I mean, I've opened so many safes. Exploring downtown Seattle was amazing. Also, going through the city trying to get to the television station that you have to go to at one point. Going through all those buildings, reading all the notes and stuff that people left behind. Is really cool. It's also kind of cool having to put together other stories and building off of that story in order to actually really kind of build The Last of Us. I think they did a really good job with that. So like I said, overall, I give this game a 10 out of 10 rating. I'm absolutely loving it so far. And I'd highly recommend that you guys buy this. Obviously, if you're homophobic, then you probably don't want to buy this game. But besides that, yeah. So make sure that you check out our Patreon as well, because I used the last bit of my money in order to buy this game. It was well worth it, so don't get me wrong on that front. But we're getting a lot of games coming out in the holiday of 2020, including two new consoles, so... I'm going to be trying to save up, do my best, and if you guys could support me on Patreon, hopefully I can get some of that stuff to review. Otherwise, it's just going to be third-hand research that's going to have to be done instead of second-hand research. So, yeah. Besides all of that, game on.
Find AFcast on Instagram and Twitter, at AF Community, for any updates on future podcast episodes. If you want to join the community Discord, find the link in the description or on the website, afcommunity.com. We'll be right back.